We've been in a series of sermons on spiritual warfare, and I want to continue that today because it's so vital. Because even as we worship God, in essence, we are carrying out spiritual warfare. It's interesting that when Israel went into battle, they went in with a shout, and they would clang the cymbals. It wasn't so much to scare the enemy, but to let the enemy know that they were there and they're going to take care of business. It was also to encourage all of the members of the army of Israel that they have the victory. It's like that song was telling us, we have the victory. And throughout the Word of God, you see songs, victorious songs, encouraging the troops. And we are God's army. That old song used to say, onward Christian soldiers marching us to war. I believe we need to get that into our heads and not stay in la la land where everything's cool, you know, everybody just chill. No, this ain't about chilling. This is about heat. This is about war. War more deadly than any physical war you could imagine. Because we're dealing with and we're just there standing strong, not just for ourselves, but with the Lord Jesus and with our family and the whole world, in fact. In case you haven't noticed it, the whole world has gone bonkers. But we stand strong. We stand with Christ and in the battle. See, forgiveness, forgiveness. We're in spiritual warfare. And I think that forgiveness is a strategic and powerful move on the part of our enemy. They see a world divided. I'm talking about they that are in the heavenly realms. They are not of God, but spiritual wickedness. They see a strategic moment where there's division amongst people, there's hatred amongst people. And now is the time to cease. But one thing they forget about, that our standard bearer is Jesus Christ. As we come together today and we have this sermon, the sermon's entitled, I want you to get this, Forgiveness Glorifies God. Forgiveness glorifies God. When we forgive, and see, we glorify God and we take the power and the instruments of war out of Satan's hands. It's in the heavenly hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his people, of which we are. We are Christian soldiers. And when we forgive, we move forward. But if we become like the world, at each other's throats, battling with one another, unforgiving of one another, then we've played into the devil's strategy. Get them divided and get them kicking and swinging and fighting and cussing each other out. Rather than praising the Lord and being strengthened by the Lord, Satan sees us. And I'm here today to say that forgiveness glorifies God. It brings glory to God. And when God is glorified, then we are satisfied. And the whole world looks in awe, but not mess with them. You better see what I'm saying? Forgiveness glorifies God. Again, even in the Old Testament, when they went to war, it was glory to God. In fact, they were told that when they went out to war, they would clang the cymbals. Yeah, they were making the joyful noise, and they would blow their horns, and they were just going to battle because they knew that the Lord, their God, the God of Israel was with him. Forgiveness glorifies God, and we want God on our side. We want to go in his armor, in his strength. We don't want to give the advantage to the devil. When we're swinging at one another, when we're putting down one another, devaluing one another, hating one another, you don't get victory by fighting your own army. The people in your army. No, we build each other up. But Satan sees that he has an advantage when we are divided. Forgiveness glorifies God in that God forgives us of all of our sins, and he stands with us in righteousness. But if the devil, with Satan, what he does is he divides people. He wants the people in the church to fight each other and to fight whoever. Because when you're fighting, you're not walking in the power and the spirit of God. You're using your own warfare, your fists, your tongue. Now, the devil's got that devil's tongue, not you. And when we put down one another, when we criticize one another, when we don't bring in the glory of God and build up each other, we're playing into the enemy's hands. We need to come out of the enemy territory, and we need to march this onward, united. It says in that song, we are not divided. All one are we. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward. You know how you go onward? By forgiving your brother, your sister, or whoever. They don't have to just be in the church. What about somebody in your neighborhood that you don't like? What about somebody at work that you don't like? I wanted to take time this morning to evaluate ourselves, to examine ourselves. I know we're going to have the Lord's Supper later. Great time to evaluate ourselves then too. But even now, and after this service is over, when we go home, I want us to think about it. Whose side am I on? Now, if I don't forgive my brother and I hate him and try to get even with him, is that God's side or is that the devil's side? But if I come and recognize that, hey, you know, I've got a bitterness in me. I've got a little hatred in me. It could be racial hatred. It could be political hatred. It could be anything. You just hate because it's a day to hate. Give me somebody I can hit. Some people go crazy like that. But forgiveness, when I forgive my brother, even if my brother or neighbor or you fill in the blank that you've got it against, anytime you are going against somebody, anytime that you are in a hatred mode, you're hurting yourself. Somebody once said that a lot of people go around as haters. You don't want to be a hater. You want to be a lover. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? You see, when you hate, check this out. Let's say I've got this glass. I do have this glass, and I've got something. You can't tell what it is. And, oh, this is probably his water he gets every sermon. But you don't know what I've got in this. What if I got hatred in this? What if there's bitterness in this glass? And let's say it is bitterness and you drink it. Every time you think about that person, you're drinking at him or her again. Bastard was slurping. Yes, trying to get a point across. Every time you slurp, or if you get a straw so you can't hear it, you are poisoning yourself. You are putting poison in your system through your hatred. You are taking the syringe and you are injecting yourself with that person. I don't like them and you're doing that. I don't know. You're killing yourself. You are drinking poison, waiting, as you say, their day's going to come. Their day's going to come. You're sitting around drinking poison, counting on somebody else to die. And that don't make sense. You're drinking the poison. You're counting on them dying. You won't forgive them. And you think all is well. It's not. All is hell. It's not well. And you're dying. You're killing yourself. And scientists and others have shown that when you harbor hatred, even if it's deserved hatred towards somebody, and you don't release them through forgiveness, you're simply walking around, drinking their poison, hoping that they will die. No, you will die. Not only physically, but spiritually. This is not of God. Forgiveness is not of God. Hatred is not of God. I think I mentioned once before that when the church was first beginning, I'm talking about AD 200 or whatever it was, And there was a great division between the Jews and the Gentiles. And it was God who inspired Paul and others to show that we're one, whether Jew or Gentile, we're one in Christ. And whether you are a person who has a neighbor or a family member, there are people everywhere. What if we could greet people with a smile rather than a frown? That we're cutting and shooting with our eyes. The laser beam, yeah, I got him. No, we're to bring flowers. We're to bring a sweet savor to the world. Joy to the world, not hell to the world. We can say hell to the chief. And got hell coming even out of there. It's to be love and grace and mercy. So therefore, I look at the world, look at myself, and realize that I need to be more forgiving. Forgiveness glorifies God. You know why I say that? God loves those who are sinners. God loves sinners. You say, no, Pastor, he passes over the sinners. I say to you, God loves sinners. And maybe this should make an adjustment in how we deal with people, even our children. Even our children. You know, I've had to go back. My kids are basically all grown, gone, as they say, grown and gone. And they're old. Getting older. Some of them are going to really be mad at me. But you know what I've had to do? I've had to repent to God about how I dealt with my children. I've had to analyze myself, even in today's sermon. Forgiveness glorifies God. That's the title of it. You know how forgiveness glorifies God? Because God forgives. And it glorifies him. Wow, God, we look at the stars and the moon, sun, and we see a glory there. We see that light. But God's forgiveness glorifies him. Let me read to you from the gospel, 1 Peter 1:12. Paul, in my book, should be in the Hall of Fame of ministers. And he says, I thank God, Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointed me to his service, a Christian soldier, even though I was once a blasphemer. I didn't praise God, I cursed God. That's what blasphemy meant. That's pretty low down, Paul. He said, but God loved me anyway. God forgave me. God is glorified. Forgiveness glorifies God. And now as we read what God and how God forgave Paul, guess who's glorified? If you said Paul, you're wrong. It's God that's glorified. To God be the glory. Why? Because he forgave Paul. He could have taken Paul out with just a word. But he forgave him. And Paul was going around killing other Christians, other men and women of God. You see, I think we take a wrong approach with children, with others. We want them to, and we've got to be thinking in our minds, we've got to get them right first before they can be blah, 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 blah. Before they can be accepted on a higher level. We've got to get them to repent. We've got to get them here. No. From my reading of the epistles and of Scripture, Old and New Testament, it is God who came and who brought mercy, who brought grace and love and sweetness and beauty to sinners. And that sweetness and that beauty and that glory motivated them to turn to the Lord, to see that Satan's old way of hatred and backbiting and slander and murder. There's nowhere equal the sweetness and the glory of forgiveness, of mercy and grace, and importantly, love. Give them love, even those who sin against you. Give them mercy. Give them grace. So when they get themselves together, when they stop doing that, No. I talked about my kids. I have gone back to my kids and apologized to them for emphasizing that they get their act together first before I could have them experience this, that of God's love. No, it's the sweetness first. It's the sweetness first. It's the beauty first. It's the grace first. See, forgiveness glorifies God because God doesn't come to get us, to punish us. He comes to love us, give us mercy and grace. How many of you think you deserve all the blessings God has given you? Let me see the hands. You can put the numbers right down at the bottom. How many of you believe that God has blessed you and God has done this for you and that for you, healed you, done, because you have been so good? Now, I don't see any numbers jumping up there, and I'm so glad I don't see any numbers jumping up there. Because we turn to God. We turn to Him. Out of His mercy. Out of His grace. In fact, I want to pause here a moment. Let me read a little bit longer, and I will. Just letting the folks know I got a song coming. You said, Pastor, you always got a song coming. Yeah. I love to hear the gospel in music. That's why God inspired David to write so much. And just sang so much so that the sweetness and the beauty of God and His love and His mercy and His grace could flow into us. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, not who folks who already had it together. He came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, because I was the worst, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe. Those who would believe have seen the patience of the Lord, have seen the beauty of the Lord and the love of the Lord. Oh. Now to the King Eternal. I'll get into that in a moment. As an example to those who would believe in Him to receive eternal life. I want us to sing along with a song called Mercy. Just called Mercy. That's all. Let's hear the sweetness and the beauty that God has for us in the song, Mercy.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. The goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood. Choices made that I regret. Oh, I would still be lost. Oh, but for the mercy of God. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
Amen. The power of the blood. You know, it's interesting to see those people, those young people, come to understand it's by the mercy of God. To get back what I was saying, many years ago, I had somebody come to me, and they wanted me, and they thought I should give mercy to somebody. I said, no, they've done wrong. Da-da-da. Many years later, I came to see, and have come to see, that people need mercy. more than discipline. I'm not saying there should not be discipline and there should be things that need to be dealt with. But when people come to understand that God loves them, that God has mercy and grace and God is good, I believe that the Lord brings more to himself in salvation than someone who has had hammered into their heads that they've got to do this and they got to be right. In verse 15, it says, the saying is a trustworthy saying that Christ, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Now, we got a bit of that at the end of that song, didn't we? That he came into the world to save sinners. Not to get sinners right. And walking right. And talking right and doing right. But he came into the world to save sinners because he is the only one who can save. Not you, not me, no list of rules, no this or that, only Jesus. Of whom, he said. Paul said, of whom I am the worst of sinners. But he understood this, that even at his worst, God was at his best. He said, I've never seen at his best in Scripture. I haven't either. So why do you say, when I'm at my worst, God is at his best? Are you talking to him, God's just promoting me to sin? No. No. God is most glorified. Forgiveness glorifies God because it shows what God can do. Imagine taking the Apostle Paul. He said, I was the worst of sinners. But he gave me grace. The worst. Wow. I don't know if that doesn't, it just sends chills up down my spine. So how can I go? How could Paul go or anyone else go and not forgive somebody? When the worst of sinners have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. And if that's so, how much more so us who are imperfect? We're not righteous. We are horrible. I'm not saying you're a horrible person. I'm saying we're horrible in that we don't fully glorify God and obey him. It's not based upon obeying him. Are your children obeying you? It's based upon God's forgiveness, God's love, mercy, and grace, and long-suffering. And so God chose to choose the worst of sinners and make them an example, the Apostle Paul. And more people have come to understand this through the preachings and the writings of the Apostle Paul than any other person, because he experienced the love and the grace of God. The devil wants you, though, to continue on the path of getting even. See, of works, of your accomplishments. So now I'm going to get even with that person, or I am going to, because they're not right, I'm going to go after them. Maybe they need the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Maybe they need the prayers of somebody and asking God to call them and to save them. I believe that to have vengeance and not to forgive others, no matter how great or how small, is to play into the hands of the enemy. Because if I go on a road of, I'm going to give you vengeance, I'm going to give you your upcomings, his Satan delights in that. He loves that. That's his field. That's what he got a PhD in. That's what he loves, to get people hating one another. And you know, I could go on and on. I think you know what I'm talking about. We live in a world of hate and division, even amongst Christians. God wants us to be like him. He wants us to glorify him by forgiving others, by giving mercy to others. And as some people say, give a brother a chance, you know. Give a brother a break. Nobody's perfect. Jesus was asked this straight up. How many times do I have to forgive this? This is my wording. This is not the word of the Lord. In essence, it is, but I'm kind of making it so you'll get what I'm talking. So they came to Jesus, the disciples, and they wanted to know, how many times do I have to forgive this brother over here? And Jesus said, seven times. One of them came and said, how many, Jesus? Seven times? And Jesus said, no. If he comes and he repents to you and he changes the, then 70 times seven. You know how much 70 times seven is? Incalculable. You can't calculate it. You can't do it on a calculator. It's infinity. God's love never runs out. It never runs out. His mercy never runs out on us. Ask God to make us that kind of people. And I pray that even now, Lord. Help us to be lovers, forgivers, long, long sufferers. Can put up with folks a long time in infinity. Because that's how you've been with us, Lord. And forgive us. And let us glorify you. Because it's all about you. Not about us. Not about even the person that maybe we're, you know, not nice to. It's about your glory. And when you're glorified, we're satisfied. And then I think through folks seeing your glory, Lord, in us, being Christ-like, then they're drawn to you, Lord. Make us an instrument of your peace. Make us an instrument of your love. I want us to sing this song real quick. And I know I've been going on and on and on, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. That forgiveness glorifies God. It doesn't glorify the devil. When you go and you take vengeance or you don't forgive somebody, you're glorifying the devil. He's just waiting on you. I know you're going to come around. Bam, look at it. Just, devil's not watching you in your attitude, in your heart, carry around his. I think we could have better success in spiritual warfare if we would quickly forgive. It doesn't have to go on for days and weeks and months and years. What if we instantly forgave folks? Well, when they change, no, God will make them change when they see the light of the Lord in you and me, that they want to be more like you and me. The other way turns them on, whether you're talking about your kids, your neighbors, your friends, whatever. We've been called to preach the good news of the love and the grace of God. Forgiveness glorifies God. Isn't it interesting and wonderful that God's grace finds us? We don't find the Lord. He finds us. And oh, what a blessing to be able to receive. You know, we're going to receive the bread and the wine in a moment here. That through faith we receive it and take it as the body, the risen body of Christ, as well as his love and his grace and his sacrifice of his body on a cross. Isn't that amazing grace? That a sinless one, Jesus, takes on all of our sins. And so I think it's wonderful to be able, as we receive the body through this bread, the blood through this wine. We're not saying it's literally bread and literally wine, but in some way, through the Holy Spirit, we are receiving the body and the blood of Jesus, that he would love us so. I think it is always apropos before we eat, before we drink of the Lord, that we examine ourselves. And perhaps today is a good day to examine ourselves about forgiveness. You don't want to carry. You don't want to drink the poison. Satan wants to destroy you. And one way he can do it is to have you drink of his cup. His cup of bitterness. His poison. No, let it go. Whatever it is, whoever, let it go. And let the Lord. God is more than able. More than able. You're not able to take on the Lord's job. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Not yours. Even mentally. Like some people go around slaying people in their minds. Even mentally, it's bad for you. Physically, mentally, and spiritually, it's not of God. It is not glorious to be mad at folks. It isn't. We've been called to glorify God, and all we do and say, and I will add, think, what is your heart? Are you willing to forgive 75? I'm just tired. I'm just up to here with it. No, it's more than 70 times 7 that we forgive. And we place their love, even for the worst of them. His vengeance is mine. See, I don't think we really believe in God. I don't think we really trust God to take care of business, to take care of the evil. Because see, God's coming because he wants that evil person to repent and to forgive. And that would mess up your little game, wouldn't it? Mess up my little game if I was playing that game. I want them to do this. I want them to go down. I want them to, they're going to get theirs. No, God is about saving folks. Do we get that? He's about saving folks, even through us. And forgiveness is to bring life. And to glorify God. And have countless people who are around the throne where we will behold him and see him. Even those who have been our enemies. Look what the Lord has done. Even the Apostle Paul who will be there. But what about slaying Christians? Isn't that amazing about God, how he can transform us? Let us be a part of that transforming process and not that that other way. All right? We're all human. We all make mistakes, and God forgives us as well. But let us rejoice in him, that we all have Christ in us, and we'll all be together now and forevermore. So, Father, we ask that you would bless us. We ask that you bless us with an opening of our eyes as to how you are, how forgiving you are, how loving you are, and help us to be that way, Lord. It's hard to change sometimes, Lord. The older you get, sometimes the harder it is. But there's nothing too hard for you. And we do not engage in this on our own strength and our own power, but by the strength and the power of the Spirit of God, so that Christ may be all and in us all. Amen. So let's sing, Christ be in all.
Christ be all, and I his own. shores of sure salvation, I will run to meet my King, freed from shame and all accusation. He'll give himself, nothing I'll bring. He'll give himself, nothing I'll bring.